Luke chapter 7. And this morning, I hope with God's help, I'm going to preach on the subject, Jesus, a friend of sinners. Or you could call it the faulty thinking of the Pharisee. Jesus, a friend of sinners, or the faulty thinking of a Pharisee. Luke chapter 7, and we'll begin reading in verse 34. The Bible says, "The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my head with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she hath loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Dear Lord, bless your word today. Thank you for it. Thank you for this account of Jesus Christ being a friend to sinners. I pray that you'd open our eyes and our hearts and our ears and our understanding. And may the name of Jesus Christ be glorified and honored today. And may we go out of here, Lord, thinking about what your word says, and may we be changed for it. Thank you for every person that is here today. We pray for those who are not able to be here, especially those that are sick. We pray that you touch them. And Lord, have your way in this service. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ and for his sake. And amen. This is a very interesting account. There's a lot of things in here that could get our attention. One of the things that I found interesting is the Pharisee spake within himself, verse 39, but Jesus answered him out loud, verse 40. That's pretty fascinating. This man thought something and Jesus knew what he thought. By the way, Jesus knows what you're thinking. Amen. He knows what you're thinking. The other thing that always kind of agitated me about this story is when Jesus told him the parable, the Pharisee in verse 43 said, I suppose. That always bothered me. The reason it bothered me is because he knew full well the answer. It wasn't a supposition. That's his way of reluctantly admitting that Jesus was right. That's what we all do, isn't it? We hate to admit we're wrong. But Jesus is right. Jesus told the religious crowd in the Gospel of Matthew, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Jesus called the scribes and the Pharisees serpents and vipers. Now listen, wait a minute. The Son of God, Jesus, called the Pharisees serpents and vipers and hypocrites and full of iniquity and uncleanness. Today we would say that was not very positive preaching. We would say that Jesus was not very nice. We would say that Jesus needs to get that book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. But I'm telling you right now, Jesus told the truth.
Amen.
Jesus called these people these names because they were. But to sinners, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In this account here, we see the faulty thinking of a Pharisee. The faulty thinking of a Pharisee. Number one, we see his fault regarding Christ. We see his faulty thinking regarding Jesus Christ. In verse 39, notice what it says. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if, I underlined that in my Bible, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Number one, he underestimated Christ, didn't he?
Yeah.
He said, if this guy was real, he'd know who's touching him. If Jesus Christ was really a prophet, he'd know this woman is a no-gooder. He'd know this woman is a woman of the night or whatever she was. He'd know that she's a bad apple if Jesus Christ was really a prophet. In other words, he did not consider Jesus Christ a prophet. He did not consider Jesus Christ who he was. He didn't care much for Christ's purpose or Christ's mission either. He looked at this person and he said, if Jesus really knew who this woman was, he'd tell this woman, get away from me. Don't touch me. I don't want anything to do with you. That's what this man was thinking. But he didn't understand. He had faulty thinking concerning the mission of Jesus Christ. I have a faithful saying for you this morning, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He didn't come into this world to push sinners away. He came into this world to save sinners. So this man, number one, he had a faulty thinking regarding Christ. Number two, he had a faulty thinking regarding this woman. Not only did he have a faulty thinking regarding Jesus Christ, he had bad thinking when it comes to how he looked at this woman. The Pharisee felt that the proper reaction to notorious sinners was hatred. In other words, when this Pharisee looked at this woman, he loathed her. He despised her. He didn't look on her with compassion or any feeling. He looked at her as somebody he'd like to got rid of. Moral people often think they're better than others. Moral people often think, and let me say this, Christians sometimes think they're better than others. And that's a mistake. That's faulty thinking. In other words, they get a little dignified, you know. Once a person gets saved and God cleans them up a little bit, they kind of get dignified, don't they? They get dignified. If it rained, they drown. They got their nose up in the air. They get a little snooty. He had faulty thinking regarding this woman. He had no desire, this man, this Pharisee had no desire in reclaiming the lost. He had no desire to see the lost saved. He had no desire to help sinners. He didn't want anything to do with them. Well, let me ask you this morning, how about you? How about you? I'll be the first to admit sometimes people get on my nerves, amen? And sometimes when I'm on a job and I hear people cursing and swarping and taking the Lord's name in vain, I get really agitated, get mad about it. But there's always a still small voice in me that says something like this: you used to be like that. Or maybe you never were like that. Maybe you was raised in church and you was a good little girl or a good little boy your whole life. It's just by the grace of God you're not like that.
Right.
What I'm trying to tell you is we shouldn't be looking down our nose at sinners. We ought to be concerned about sinners. We should be looking for an opportunity to help sinners. She knew she was a sinner, didn't she? This woman knew she was a sinner. That's the other problem this man had. He didn't think he was a sinner. He had faulty thinking about this woman. She knew more than Simon knew. She knew more than the Pharisee. Can I tell you it's a good day when Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit reveals to you that you're a sinner? It's a good day when you feel conviction. It's a good day when God the Holy Spirit lands on top of you and says you're lost and need to be saved. That's a good day. It's a good day when God tells you that nothing can save you but the cross of Christ and Jesus Christ and the blood of Christ. There's no salvation in your good works, your good deeds, your rituals. There's nothing in all that. The only way you can be saved is by looking to Jesus Christ. It's a good day when God brings that home to your heart. This woman had felt that. She felt that. Simon hadn't felt that. Well, let me tell you something. You know, there's some silly people today, and I call them silly on purpose. There's some silly people today that says, well, now you can't really feel that thing. Listen, you can feel that thing. You can feel conviction. Amen. Conviction is a feeling. Let me give you an illustration. If a state policeman knocked on that door back there and said, we've got you, Sean, on video, running a red light downtown. You know what I would feel? First of all, I'd say, uh-oh. And then I'd try to think, did I? And then I would think, oh, man, I guess they caught me. Them stupid cameras. In other words, I would feel that, wouldn't I? I'd feel that in the pit of my stomach. You all know what that is, to feel something in the pit of your stomach? Conviction is a feeling. Conviction, when God the Holy Spirit brings conviction to somebody. This woman was convicted. She felt convicted. But Simon didn't know anything about that. And listen, all you need to know is you're a sinner. You need to know you're a sinner. We're all sinners, aren't we? We're all sinners. I say that because of this. I want to expand on that a little bit because I'm telling you, I've knocked on a lot of doors. And I've asked people these questions. Do you know that you're a sinner? The Bible says, for all sin and come short of the glory of God. Do you know that? And I've had people shake their head. Yes, I know that. But let me tell you something. Just knowing that ain't enough. There's very few people that will not admit to the fact that they're a sinner. Every once in a while you'll run across one. But most people will tell you, yeah, I know I'm a sinner. That's not enough. That's not conviction. That's just knowing a fact. I feel like I could go further with that, but I won't this morning. That's just knowing a fact. There's a lot of people, you knock on the door and say, do you know that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again the third day? Do you know that? And they could say, yes, but they're not a Christian. They know a fact, but they don't know God. I hope you understand what I'm saying today. You can get people, a good salesman can get people to nod their head up and down at the screen door. He had faulty thinking regarding Christ. He didn't know who Christ was. He had faulty thinking regarding this woman. He thought he was better than she was. Worst of all, he had faulty thinking regarding himself. Number three, he had faulty thinking regarding himself. The Pharisees showed that he didn't know his own heart. The heart is deceitful, isn't it? The heart is deceitful. And our heart will lie to us. The Pharisees showed he didn't know his own heart. He didn't see himself as needing Christ. He didn't see himself as a lost person. He didn't see himself as needing a physician. He didn't see himself, he saw himself as a good person. He saw himself as being, he'd probably been raised in the synagogue, you know. He thought himself as a good person. His parents, I'm sure they were religious. He wasn't like this trashy woman that come in there. Who let her in anyway? He wasn't like her. I want to tell you right now that dead, lifeless religion will take you to hell quicker than anything I know. You can join a church and you can be baptized or you can take communion or you can do anything you want to do, but if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're hell bound. This man was very religious, but he was lost. He thought in his mind, you know, everybody's got a way they think it's going to work. I don't know if you know that or not, but most people who even if they believe an inkling about God, they think they've got it figured out. They think that somehow or another they've got a way they're going to get to heaven. They think, well, God, when we get to heaven, he's going to have a big scale and he's going to put the good deeds on one side and the bad deeds on the other side, and whichever side weighs the most, that's going to determine where you go. The Bible doesn't say that. Bible doesn't say that. People in their mind, they've created a God of their imagination. They think, well, God's not, he's not going, he loves everybody. He's going to let everybody in. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says if you go into eternity while rejecting Jesus Christ, you're going to go to hell. People have got it all figured out in their mind, you know. This Pharisee thought that he was a good person. And he thought that by doing good works and being religious that he was going to go to heaven. By doing these rituals, he thought, well, I'll go to heaven that way. I want to tell you today, there's a lot of people like that. There's a lot of people in this world. You've got friends, neighbors, co-workers who think that somehow or another they're going to go to heaven because of their good works, their good deeds, their rituals they perform because they've joined a church or been baptized as a baby. They think, well, I'm going to heaven because of that. Listen, it is our duty and responsibility to tell those people that is not how you go to heaven. You're not saved that way. This man, he had some faulty thinking about Jesus Christ. Listen, in order for you to know about Jesus Christ, he has to reveal himself to you. He had faulty thinking about Jesus Christ. Number two, he had faulty thinking about this woman. He had faulty thinking about this woman. He had faulty thinking about himself, didn't he? There's some lessons here, folks, and it's very important today for us, because even people who are saved can get in a mindset to where we lose our compassion for sinners. Did you know that?
Yes.
Do you know if we're not careful, we can look down our nose at sinners and not see the person?
That's right.
We can look down our nose and say, you know, that person, that just makes me sick what they're doing. And rightfully so. What they're doing is probably wicked and bad. But there's still a person there and they have a soul. And Jesus came to this world to save sinners. And we need to be reminded of that. God is still able to save, isn't he? I don't know about you, but I'm glad he came by my way.
Amen.
I'm glad he didn't look at me and say, my goodness, what a waste of flesh that is. I'm glad he came by my way and picked me up. I want to tell you, here's some lessons for you, and I'm quitting. Number one, Jesus is a friend to sinners. Jesus is a friend to sinners. Now let me just give you a little warning here, because humans have a tendency to go to the ditch. And what I mean by that is this. I'm telling you ought to be friends to sinners, but I'm not telling you to go hang out with the bar at the bar with them. You understand? Back when I was a kid, there was a preacher down in Louisiana who was famous for going down on the worst parts of Louisiana and ministering to those people. And let me tell you what happened. He finally fell into sin down there. He got too close. You can get too close, Christian. I like what Lester Roloff said. He said, in order to pull sinners out of the ditch, you're going to have to keep one tire on the pavement. In other words, yeah, we're to help them, but don't get down the ditch with them, amen? Jesus was a friend to sinners, but he never did sin. He was a friend of sinners. Jesus, number two, Jesus offers no help to the self-righteous. Jesus offers no help to the self-righteous. Why should he? They that are whole have no need of a physician, do they? I don't know about you guys, you men. Women are a little different, the personalities usually, but I hate to go to the doctor. I hate to go to the doctor. And if I go to the doctor, you can count it down to two things. Either one, Evelyn has needled me and aggravated me till I go, or number two, I'm really sick, or a combination of the two. What I'm telling you is, when sinners see themselves as sinners and become sin sick, they'll run to Christ. When the Holy Spirit convicts somebody, you don't have to sing 16 verses of "Just As I Am." You don't have to pull and plead. As one fellow said in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, those people gave their own invitation. Now, I'm not against giving an invitation. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of somebody, they see their need. They see their need. It's like I told that preacher when he came to my house, he made small talk for about 15 minutes. Finally, I looked at him, I said, "Preacher, if it's okay with you, I'd just like to get saved." I'd had enough small talk. The Holy Spirit had had me hemmed up for some time. And I saw my need as a sinner. And I saw my need for a Savior. The self-righteous, Jesus Christ has nothing for the self-righteous, does he? Those people think they're going to go to heaven some other way, there's nothing for them. Those people are trusting in a denomination or a ritual or something they've done. That there's no hope for them as far as Jesus is concerned until they realize that they're a sinner. If the Lord's parable means what I think it means, think about this, because every once in a while you'll hear some, and again I use the word silly, you'll hear some silly person say, all sins are the same. You ever heard anybody say that? That's not true. If the Lord's parable means anything, notice, remember what we read. If the Lord's parable means anything, she was a 500-pound sinner, or 500-pence sinner, and he was a 50-pence sinner. In other words, Jesus acknowledged the fact that she was a very bad sinner and that he was a fairly decent fella. But that doesn't change anything, does it? We're all sinners. We're all sinners. Jesus didn't deny that some sins and some sinners are worse than others. But you need to know that we're all sinners. You're like one fella said, I might not have done as bad as you've done, but I've got it in me. We've got it in us. Number three, one of the most deadly heresies in Christianity is the belief that Jesus came into the world to save good people. He didn't come into the world to save good people. He came into the world to save sinners. So, you know, even sinners think that. A lot of times sinners think, you know what, I'm thinking about being a Christian. I'm considering that. But I'd like, in their heart, they think, I'd like to clean up my life a little bit first. Don't they think that? Well, I'm here to tell you today, Jesus didn't come into the world to save good people. He came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to save sinners. And let me tell you this. I don't understand what all this means, but I know it's true. There's joy in heaven when a sinner repents. There's joy in heaven when one sinner repents. Jesus loves sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He's a friend of sinners. By the way, I'm still a sinner. Do you hear me? I've been saved as far to the best of my knowledge. I've been saved since I was 25 years old. That was 1989. I was saved. I'm still a sinner. He's still my friend. I'm still a sinner. And he's still my friend. Her one, this woman, we look at her as a woman. The Bible doesn't go into great detail, but evidently she was notorious. Evidently she was either a harlot or we'd call her a rounder maybe today or something. She was bad news as far as the world's concerned. She wasn't a good person. But this woman had one hope. This woman had one hope. It was the same hope the thief on the cross had. Amen. The thief on the cross couldn't join the church. The thief on the cross couldn't be baptized. The thief on the cross couldn't come to an altar. The thief on the cross could only look to Jesus Christ and say, "Remember me." Amen. I'm telling you, the only hope we have is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's our only hope. Be very sure. Be very sure your anchor holds. And grips the solid rock. There's nothing else going to last, folks. There's nothing else going to matter. There's nothing else going to matter. And I'll tell you something else that's interesting about this account. In verse 48, Jesus says to her, "Thy sins are forgiven." Thy sins are forgiven. Not only was Jesus a prophet, he was a priest. And he's a king. He said, "Thy sins are forgiven." She was given full assurance. Verse 50, and he said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." I remember the day that the Lord saved me. All of heaven came down. I was happy and free. Glory filled my soul. For I knew the Lord had taken control. I will never forget the day that the Lord saved me. Has he saved you? I know what it feels like to have the burden of my heart roll away. We sing these songs, and I don't think the average Baptist person knows anything about it. But I know about it. He saved my soul. He set me free. I felt him loose the chains of sin and set my spirit free. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me. When I sing those songs, they're not just some imagination or just some dream I had. They happened to me. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to lay my head down at night and say, "I'm not going to hell." I'm trying to tell you, salvation's real. This woman went out of that house a different person. Amen. She went out of that house singing glory, hallelujah. She went out of that house a different person. The Pharisee, he represents the unloving and self-righteous people who are ignorant of the love of God. And they may be respectable in life and rigid in their morals and unquestioned in their orthodoxy. But what about all that? You could have all that and not have love. If you don't have love for sinners, what's that matter? I want to tell you this. Notice what he said. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. I want to tell you that grace changes a person. Amazing grace. The songwriter said, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Grace changes people, doesn't it?
Yes.
It changes people. The old slave captain said this too. It's one of my favorite quotes. He said, in evil long I took delight, unawed by shame and fear, but a new object caught my sight and stopped my wild career. God changed me. Has he changed you? Has he changed you? Has he made you a new creature in Christ Jesus? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Isn't that what the Bible says? Has he changed you? If God had not saved this woman, there's no doubt she probably would have stayed a harlot and died with a harlot's heart. But he did, didn't he? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he saved sinners?
Yes.
Aren't you glad he saved sinners? Aren't you glad that he has compassion on sinners? Shouldn't we have compassion on sinners? You never know. You never know what God has put in your path or who God has put in your path. I've told this story before. I'm going to tell it again in closing. I was unloading a truck where I worked, and there was a truck driver. He got out of the truck, and he come back here to where I was at, and it's like the Holy Spirit said to me, witness to this fella. If you've been saved any time at all, you've had that situation where the Holy Spirit kind of prompts you to talk to somebody, have you not? Well, when he got out of the truck and he got closer to the fork truck I was on, I noticed he had flames tattooed on his head down both sides, like a 34 Ford. And he was big as a mountain. And I thought to myself, well, actually, I kind of told the Lord, Lord, I'd rather not talk to this guy. So I unloaded the truck and everything, and I was getting ready to sign the paperwork and everything. And I said, buddy, I didn't know what to say because I was, you know how it is when you try to witness people, you're unsure of yourself. I said, buddy, I'm a Christian. Have you ever thought about being a Christian? You ever thought about trusting Christ? And he was standing there, and he just bowed his head. And when he looked back up, tears were streaming down his face. And he said, you're not going to believe this. He said, my brother's a preacher, and he's all over me. Now, he didn't get saved that day, but I'm telling you, I believe the Lord put him in my path. And I don't know. I haven't seen him since. I hope he's a Christian now. But I'm just trying to tell you that when you look at somebody and you say, there's no hope for that guy, or there's no hope for that girl, you're probably dead wrong. Amen. God could save the Apostle Paul, who was a blasphemer and hated Jesus Christ. He can save sinners, can't he?
Amen.
Don't ever think. When the fella asked me to come to church that morning, he probably got in my truck. I probably had Judas Priest or Ozzy Osbourne full blast. And he rode to work with me. And he probably reached over. I can't remember all the circumstances. He probably reached over and turned the radio down. And he said, won't you come to church with me this Sunday? He probably thought he was spitting in the wind that day. He probably thought he was wasting his time talking to me. But I'm telling you, you know what I said? I turned and looked at him and I said, I'd like that. I hadn't been in church in 10 years probably. I said, I'd like that. I went home, told Evelyn, I said, we're going to church Sunday. I'm just trying to tell you, maybe the reason we're not seeing people saved is we're not witnessing like we ought to. I was at the Burger King drive-thru several years ago, and the Lord again prompted me to witness to the lady there to drive-thru. So when I went through the drive-thru, I said, ma'am, I said, could I give you a tract to read later? I'm sure they get that all the time, or they should. And she looked at me and she said, I'm a witch. And she wasn't just mean that she was mean. She actually had pentagrams and stuff all over. She said, I'm a witch. And I looked at her and I said, ma'am, Jesus Christ can save witches too. I'm just telling you today, we've got a responsibility to tell others, don't we? Amen. We've got a responsibility to tell others. That young man that came here and preached, Michael Hayes came here and preached. He was a waiter in a restaurant, and somebody gave him a track, and he ended up getting saved.
Amen.
I'm just trying to tell you today, we need to witness. We need to have compassion on sinners. We need to look at sinners and think, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be in the ditch with them. I'd be in the mess with them. If it wasn't for the grace of God, my family would be a mess. My home would be a mess. My marriage would be dissolved. I'd be a drunk. I'd be a drug addict. I'd be a harlot. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we need to remind ourselves of that. The Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But God, aren't you glad that he's a friend of sinners? Aren't you glad? And I tell you something else, folks. I'm glad he's still a friend of sinners, because I'm not what I want to be. Amen? I'm not what I want to be. That's another thing John Newton said. He said, I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not what I want to be. He's changing me. He's working on me. Is he working on you? Is he working on you? Have compassion, folks. Be like our Savior. Be a friend to the lost. Be a friend.